Well, things are looking up for a number of reasons, not just the weather. Here in the studio with me today is the executive director of the Fontana concert series, and we're going to be talking about some upcoming concerts you won't want to miss. David Baldwin, welcome back to WMUK.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being with me today to unwrap a season that will bring a whole variety of fantastic musicians to Kalamazoo, from jazz to classical and a little beyond.
Indeed.
All of that. Yeah. Would you start with the big picture, the scope of your series next year?
I think the scope of the series was essentially that I wanted to incorporate, well, first of all, just great musicians from all over the world. But more importantly, I guess I started with the idea, at least from the classical perspective, of the great conservatories and the great orchestras in the world, and finding them in a chamber music setting. Mm-hmm. So we have things like the New York Philharmonic Quartet or the Concertgebouw from Amsterdam, you know, an ensemble from there, the Juilliard String Quartet, and the Curtis Institute of Music. And so that's where it all started. But it's always important for me personally, as well as to many people in the audience, to add that jazz element and to mix it up a bit. And that's the really beautiful thing about the job, is that anything's fair game. You know, you can program anything, and as long as it's quality and as long as it's good, people will come.
Well, you've just come off a concert season that, much like this upcoming one, featured international musicians from many walks of life and at points in their career where they're commanding the stages of major international festivals and recitals.
Sure.
And appearances. What are some of the highlights for you from 2017, 2018?
That's a good question. It's always difficult for me to, you know, I love Nathan Gunn, and Nathan Gunn did this program. It was a very Americana type of thing.
He's the baritone I talked
exactly,
to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And that was terrific.
You can hear him on stages, opera stages
all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think one poignant, concert for me was the Tokyo String Quartet with Wu Man playing the pipa. And not only was it dedicated to my colleague Betsy Wong, but it was just a very, very moving, particularly the last piece that they did, which incorporated video into it as well. It just kind of seared into my brain and my heart, actually. But yeah, I really enjoyed the season. It was a fantastic season.
It finished up with a Gilmore collaboration.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And that was a jazz show.
Yes, it was. Bill Sharlop Trio. Oh. And that was done at the Williams Theater here at Western. And that was terrific as well.
And no tickets available for that for days.
No,
for
it was completely
before.
Sold out. Yeah. Both shows. Yeah.
So maybe that will, for listeners, be a reminder to check out the website soon.
Buy early, because yeah, they go quickly. It depends, you know, which concert it is. But
the website is fontanamusic.org. And is the season up right now?
It is.
I know that you've just announced it.
We did. And in fact, the brochure should be hitting mailboxes today. But the season on the website went live yesterday.
Okay, so you're ready for...
We're ready.
For the reservations to be made. How many concerts will be coming up in the next Fontana season?
There will be 8. 7 that are part of the subscription series, and then a special event that includes Esperanza Spalding as the 8th concert. They're called the Spring Trio, and it's Joe Lovano, and it's all, you know, an all-star quartet.
Wow.
Of jazz musicians. So that will be in May of 2019.
Oh, so we're talking about almost a year.
Yeah, we got some time. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning.
Sure. The opening concert is on Friday, October 26th at 7:30 p.m. at Cityscape on the Kalamazoo Mall. And it's an evening with Branford Marcellus. And he's the oldest of the Marcellus boys that his brother, you know, includes Wynton Marcellus, Delphio Marcellus, whom we had here 2 or 3 years ago, and Jason, who's a drummer, who's the youngest of the lot. But anyway, a lot of people will know Branford from the Marcellus family, as well as maybe some people will even know him. He was the band leader on Jay Leno's on The Tonight Show from, I believe, 92 to 95. But a lot of people will know him from that as well.
Right. He has crossed a lot of barriers, and he's not restricted himself to New Orleans-style jazz, which is his inheritance, but has gone well into pop categories.
Oh, yeah. He's performed with, like, Sting. He's performed with Sting, The Grateful Dead. When I read that, I was like, what? But, yeah, no, he has not... he's been all over. And in fact, he does a lot of classical music as well. He performs with at least 10 orchestras a year. And so, no, he's multidimensional and a really interesting sax player.
Yeah, it was probably within the last 8 weeks or so that we broadcast a Chicago Symphony concert. And Branford was the soloist in a concerto by John Williams.
And, nice. And yeah.
The Foray. Pavan. Yeah,
sure.
Really nice.
a juxtaposition. So, the Foray Pavan.
The man who can do pretty much anything is coming to Kalamazoo on October 26th.
Yep.
Cityscape Event Center. This will be kind of up close and personal, the space itself.
It will, yeah. It'll be very much like a jazz club, you know. So we'll have little tables, cocktail tables, and people will be able to, it'll feel like a jazz club setting.
A jazz club setting, just as pictured in a film called Mo Better Blues, a Spike Lee joint.
Yes. So this is a track that's from a Spike Lee film. It's a 1990 film. I think it's called School Days. Mm-hmm. But this track is called Mo Better Blues. And the film featured Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, and Spike even acted in it as well as directed it. It's a terrific piece.
There's this great scene with filled with music.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Well, we got a taste of a little scene from a Spike Lee film, and Branford Marcellus and Terrence Blanchard heard in that scene. But it's hard to put Branford into a box. He can do so many different
things. Yeah.
A great, great player. And his whole family has kind of taken up the mantle of... talking about educating and preserving jazz styles.
I agree.
Yeah. You presented young Delphio and Ellis Marcellus, the father, a couple of years ago. What was it like to meet them? Are they just regular folks?
Absolutely. I mean, they could not have been kinder or sweeter. They're just very down-to-earth people that just really care and love music. And I think all the boys love music of all sorts of, you know, I mean, Ellis, the patriarch of the family, was an educator as well as a performer, a pianist. But I think the guys, I mean, if you look at someone like Wynton, he's done so much, not only for the jazz world, but also the classical world, and he's made many recordings. In fact, I used to manage him and the orchestra, and I would get calls all the time for people that wanted him to perform, say, the Hummel or the Haydn Concerto, both of which he's recorded, and he just doesn't do the classical thing anymore because it's a question of the embouchure. And so he said it takes him like several months to switch from the classical embouchure, which is the placement, you know, of your mouth, basically, on the trumpet. But those things that he did, in fact, people that watch CBS in the morning on Sundays, that's him playing.
the theme we hear every
exactly
time.
Exactly, the theme you hear. But anyway, he did this wonderful Baroque duet album with Kathleen Battle. And,
oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was gorgeous. But anyway, all of the boys have just been so interested in music, and not just jazz, and just in good music. There was a famous quote by Duke Ellington that said, there are two different types of music, good and bad. So it doesn't
Very
matter
simple.
If it's classical or jazz or whatever it is. There's good and bad. And Branford definitely has explored the gamut.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Let's remind listeners, this concert is called An Evening with Branford Marsalis. And who knows what incredible musicians he'll bring along. And it's set for Friday, October 26th at Cityscape Event Center in downtown Kalamazoo. A real fortunate chance to see a great New Orleans jazz musician who is really, at this point, a citizen of the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you are known for including incredible vocalists. I think that's been one of the hallmarks of your time at Fontana. Mm-hmm. Is you don't ignore the voice.
No, not at all. In fact, I think it's so important. The whole tradition of vocal recitals across the country, I feel, is being eroded. Both when I was living in Baltimore as well as here, I feel that it's important to support that. I would hate for that to go away. It's just personally important to me. When I was a student, I worked with a lot of singers and was very honored to be able to play so much of that repertoire. And I know it in and out. And it's just very near and dear to my heart.
I'm thinking of, you mentioned Nathan Gunn already, but my favorite memory is meeting Stephanie Bly.
Yes, we had the interview, the three of us, yeah. And she is just a force of nature, and she was just wonderful.
Well, I'd like to hear about your mezzo-soprano soloist coming to Kalamazoo.
So this is Kate Lindsay, and as soon as I saw, first of all, she has a beautiful voice, but as soon as I saw the project that she was doing with a French jazz pianist, and it's kind of this melding of the two worlds, which is exactly what I love about Fontana that you can do, is meld those two worlds together. And you know, she sings at all the major opera houses, whether it be the Metropolitan Opera, the Royal Opera in Covent Garden. You know, she sings at all the major opera houses, as well as with major orchestras. You know, she's done tours with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And so, you know, she's been all over the place. And he's very famous, particularly in Europe and definitely in France. And so they did this project together. They met each other, and I'm not quite sure how they met each other, but anyway, they didn't know each other prior to this project, and it's called Thousands of Miles, and it incorporates all sorts of music, four different languages, and it from kind of jazz-esque to almost classical. And this piece that we're going to hear is a piece from Kurt Weill's Three Penny Opera. It's Barbara's Song. And you know, the first time I listened to it with her singing it, I knew it already. But the first time I heard her singing, I was like, this has got to be like three different people. I mean, she has all of these timbres and things that are so accessible to her voice, not only in the lower range, but in the higher range as well. And you really think that this is someone else, you know, like it's a trio. And it's not. It's just her. And I just think it's amazing. Yeah.
We will have to try to listen to that a little later in the hour. Just a warning that my machine here is not accepting all of its inputs as it should. But perhaps we can listen to some Cyrus Chestnut, who we will talk about right after this. A reminder, though, that Kate Lindsay appears in the Wellspring Theater on November 3rd. That's pretty close to the first concert, right? That's pretty close to Branford Marsalis.
It is, and yes.
Kate comes the next week.
Correct.
So Fontana subscribers, be prepared. And speaking of subscribing, where can people find out more information right now?
The best place is probably fontanamusic.org. Or they can also call the box office, which is 269-359-7311. Or they can also come or call the office at 269-382-7774.
Okay. Here's a little bit of Cyrus Chestnut as a teaser. We'll be talking about him with David Baldwin right after this. That's pianist, jazz musician Cyrus Chestnut. And if you tuned in during the music, we're listening to selections with the executive director of Fontana, David Baldwin, who's bringing together a collection of concerts for next season that have already run the gamut. We've looked at an evening with Branford Marsalis, an evening with Kate Lindsay, mezzo-soprano, and looking now at Cyrus Chestnut and friends.
The fun thing about the Cyrus Chestnut concert is it's in December. It's on December 8th at 7:30 at Dalton Center Recital Hall. And it's his take on a Charlie Brown Christmas. And since I was, two or three years old, as far back as I can remember, every year we always watched a Charlie Brown Christmas. My grandfather was a big Snoopy fan, and my whole family, it just became a tradition. And even to this day, at the age of 47, I still watch it. But it's great music. Originally, it was 1965, so I wasn't even born, but it came out in 1965. It's Vince Guaraldi and his trio. Just did such a beautiful job with the music, and it still resonates, I think, you know, to even kids today.
Yeah, it must have caught your ear as a young musician.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think there's something so special about that album and the Christmas special itself, because it had a bit of a sadness to it.
It did, yeah, with that tree.
Without that enforced merriment,
right.
Wasn't there, you know.
Right.
Kids can have lots of moods.
Yes, indeed.
And Charles Schulz understood that.
Yes.
I'm speaking with David Baldwin. The next Fontana season has just been announced, and folks should be getting their programs in the mail as of today, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. There are 8 concerts, ranging from solo vocalists like mezzo-soprano Kate Lindsay to full chamber orchestras, which we'll be getting to. We've got a little time still, and let's listen to some of Linus and Lucy. Why are you playing music from A Charlie Brown Christmas, Kara? Well, it's because this concert is coming up December 8th, 2018. I'm with David Baldwin, the executive director of Fontana, and the musicians again, David.
Well, it's Cyrus Chestnut and friends. And so I hesitate to give you the exact musicians' names because the management called me and said, oh, well, Cyrus has some friends, you know, that he might want to bring, you know, with him. And I said, okay, well, instead of calling this the Cyrus Chestnut Trio, which is originally what we had discussed, I decided to change it and friends. And so, you know, all the jazzers know each other, and I'm sure there are plenty of people in Detroit or Chicago or wherever. So I was like, the more the merrier, you know, so we'll see. Cyrus will be there and we'll just see who else shows up.
And again, the concert's in early December.
Yes. December 8th at 7:30 in Dalton Center Recital Hall.
Okay. That'll be a fun way to celebrate the season with a jazz style.
Yeah.
Fontana is online at fontanamusic.org. The box office, where people can help you, is it sort of 10 until 6 p.m.?
It's like 10 to 1, but they can always call the office too at 382-7774.
All right. Or if you want to talk to the box office, that's 359-7311.
Or visit it at the Epic Center if you want to look at your seats and see what, you know, the seating plan, what's available and that kind of thing. If you want to be specific about where you sit, you can always come to the Epic Center and have a look at the seating chart.
You could pick up a brochure as well, because what I'm looking at here has pictures, a lot of information on the artists, some details of what's on the concert, and of course, when and where. We have already looked at An Evening with Branford Marsalis on October 26th, which is followed in November by
Kate Lindsay. Yes.
In a program she called A Thousand Miles.
Yes.
Will the songs have to do with travel or something?
I think it's probably what they were going for is early jazz up to very contemporary music and that stretch in between. And I mean, like, for instance, there's a Kurt Vile, you know, segment of it. But there's all sorts of... I think she sings in three or four different languages during it.
That's followed about 4 weeks later with Cyrus Chestnut and friends at the Dalton Center Recital Hall.
Yes, our Charlie Brown Christmas.
And now we're in 2019 already. Would you tell us about the February concert?
So this is a concert on February 22nd, also at Dalton Center Recital Hall. And this is Curtis on Tour. And Curtis is the Curtis Institute of Music, my alma mater in Philadelphia. And it's a vocal program. The first half will be primarily opera operatic arias, as well as they'll have probably some Americana, you know, show tune-esque type things. But then the whole second half is the Brahms Liebeslieder waltzes, which I have always loved. And in fact, when I was a student there in the early 90s, Leon Fleischer and Rudolf Serkin recorded the Liebeslieder waltzes with Benita Valente and, you know, three other singers, too, wonderful singers. And it was the first recording of that particular piece that I owned, and I've always cherished, and it's traveled all over the world with me from everywhere that I've lived, and it's just a really important piece. The recording that you have is sans voice, but it's the forehand arrangement with Leon Fleischer and his wife, Catherine Jacobson, who were just here, actually. I had lunch with them 2 weeks ago, you know, when he was here performing for the Gilmore. I used to manage him for many years, and he's just like a grandfather to me, and I think to many people, many young pianists, he's considered, they call him Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, but this is a beautiful rendition of the sixth movement of the Brahms Liebeslieder waltzes.
Leon Fleischer and Catherine Jacobson heard there in one of the Liebeslieder waltzes of Johannes Brahms. And Leon Fleischer, he is associated with the Curtis Institute of Music, correct?
Yes,
David?
He teaches there.
He does teach there.
Yes.
I had him also at some other...
Peabody. He's been at Peabody for 100 years. Yeah. Okay. And so he's like, you know, the god of Peabody. And but no, he's been teaching at Curtis for many, many years.
So what stands out about the Fontana season that's coming in 2018-2019 is the number of prestigious and exceptional institutions that are represented here.
Absolutely. So, you know, with the Curtis Institute of Music, which is, you know, one of the best conservatories in the world, and then the next concert is the Juilliard String Quartet, and obviously everyone knows Juilliard, and that's equally or, you know, similarly, one of the best conservatories in the world as well. So they're back to back. And I love that. The other thing about, so we'll talk about the Juilliard String Quartet, and they perform on Saturday, March 16th, also at Dalton. But it's, and we had them, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I think three, because it was Joel Krosnick's last year. He was the cellist in the quartet for many, many years. But it's a whole new, well, at least 50% of it is new. And the two new people are women, which I think is awesome. And so it just, they've freshened it up and they've really, you know, because for like 60 years or something like that, it was all men, and, you know, I think they've really they've dragged themselves into the 21st century and realized that, you know, it's time to modernize. And they did. And they sound absolutely amazing.
It's funny you're saying that, David.
I'm very happy about that.
The Fontana season begins the new year with a concert called Curtis on Tour, which features members of the faculty and students of the Curtis Institute. And we are talking now about the March 16th concert in the Dalton Center by the Juilliard String Quartet, which, yes, has two new members. And the program does have a whiff of academia to it. These are really core pieces to,
absolutely,
to hear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's Haydn, there's Bartok, there's Beethoven.
Right.
And that's, we heard some Bartok not long ago from one of the world-class quartets you had here.
We've had quite a bit of Bartok. I mean, that's kind of something I really love. I love the Bartok quartets. And but the piece that we're going to be hearing here is Beethoven, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be unfamiliar to many of your listeners. It's one of the Razumovsky quartets, and this is the string quartet in E minor, the Opus 59, number 2. And this particular movement is the third movement.
We will hear a recording from the Juilliard String Quartet.
Yes.
Well, we're listening to a recording of the Juilliard String Quartet with Executive Director of Fontana, David Baldwin. The Juilliard String Quartet is on the concert season this coming season, 2018 and 19. David, the website is fontanamusic.org.
Yes.
And the brochures will be hitting mailboxes today.
Yes.
The concert we were just talking about is an appearance by the Juilliard String Quartet on Saturday, March 16th. That's followed in April by another chamber ensemble that plays classical music beautifully and often in a large hall with about 70 or 80 people.
Yes. So this is the Camerata RCO. And these are they are members of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, which is one of the world's best orchestras from Amsterdam. And so they've chosen an ensemble of about 7 or 8 people that decided that although they love to play within the orchestra, and they continue to do so, they wanted something more intimate, and they wanted, you know, that chamber music experience. And so they put together this group, a fantastic group of people, and they will be performing a program of Mozart, Brahms, and Dohnányi. And this is followed by the New York Philharmonic Quartet, which is on May 11th, also at Dalton. And getting back to what we were originally speaking about in the beginning, so part of like the seeds of what I was thinking is I want these great institutions, and it doesn't get much better than the New York Philharmonic and the, you know, Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, just as Curtis and Juilliard. And the New York Philharmonic is all the principals, string players. It's a wonderful program of Haydn, Shostakovich, and Brahms. And a lot of people will know, you know, Carter Bray and Cynthia Phelps, et cetera, et cetera. They're just amazing musicians. And so I'm really, really looking forward to that concert.
Not unlike with other of these chamber ensembles where the members are working with orchestras, for some reason, to my mind, to see principal players away from the New York Philharmonic, sounds some sort of wrong. Like they should always be sitting in their seats with the orchestra in the hall.
Right. It's a unique opportunity, actually. Yeah, and they've only been together since 2017 on the orchestra's 175th anniversary. They got together and they just decided that they were going to create this quartet.
And don't they have enough to do to prepare?
Would think, yeah.
Playing chamber music, we've heard this before. People who do both find great fulfillment in being able to share large orchestral works and also enjoy the intimacy of smaller ensembles. You get to see a different side of the players.
Definitely. And I even remember as a pianist playing solo, I much preferred playing in ensemble works because, you know, you're just listening to each other, working off of each other. And it's to me, it was far more interesting, but I don't know.
Less boring.
Right.
So again, the New York Philharmonic Quartet appears in May at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And you said that they're fairly new as a cohesive chamber ensemble.
Right. I mean, they've been playing together at the Philharmonic for ages. But Yeah, just as a quartet, it's fairly new. Yeah.
They were already simpatico. Probably had plenty of in-jokes going already.
I'm sure.
As they watched each other across the orchestra. But Haydn, Shostakovich, and Brahms are on the program. And in case we went a little too fast for you, the Royal Concertgebouw, what they call them, they call themselves Camerata RCO. They're appearing in April and also in the Dalton Center with Mozart, Brahms, and this sextet for clarinet, horn, violin, viola, cello, and piano by Ernst von Dohnányi. If you like Brahms, you will like Ernst von Dohnányi.
Definitely.
Full details are at the Fontana website, fontanamusic.org. I think you mentioned earlier that subscribers are set for 7 concerts and you have 1 special event.
Yes.
And we're about to talk about that now.
Right. So the special event is on May 4th, also at Dalton. So that makes it easy. You know? but it's called the Spring Quartet. And it features Esperanza Spalding, Joe Lovano, Jack D. Gione, and Leo Genovese. And they are all stars, you know, within the jazz world. And Esperanza was here in 2009 under the auspices of Fontana. And then in 2000...
Was it that long ago?
It was that long ago. Yeah, almost 10 years, right? And then in 2011, she won a Grammy Award. And her career just took off. And she's, you know, sort of a superstar of sorts. But all of, you know, the other musicians that are in the quartet are all, you know, jazz masters. You know, they've won NEA Jazz Master Awards and Grammys and all sorts of different things. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure people will know Joe Lovano on sax. You know, he's a veteran.
Yes. And he's
highly respected.
He has a nice connection with our school at Western through Tom Kniffick.
Right.
Joe Lovano taught me the smart way to open a CD wrapper.
Did he really?
When he was here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to that concert, and that's a special on Saturday, May 4th, as I said, at Dalton. And the piece that we have here is, so Esperanza is not only a bassist, but she's also a vocalist. And this piece will show you that. It's called I Know You Know.
David, thanks for coming to speak about the Fontana season.
Thank you.